Leviticus chapter 6. Beginning on page 84. And if you would keep your place there and turn also to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, and reading through verse 23, excuse me, through verse 25. That begins on page 739. Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 25. This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other outer garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see 4 men, unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt." and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. In Leviticus chapter 6, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "If anyone sins and commits a breach of faith against the Lord by deceiving his neighbor in a matter of deposit or security, or through robbery, or if he has oppressed his neighbor, or has found something lost and lied about it, swearing falsely, and any of all the things that people do and sin thereby, if he has sinned and has realized his guilt and will restore what he took by robbery, or what he got by oppression, or the deposit that was committed to him, or the lost thing that he found, or anything about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore it in full, and shall add a fifth to it, and give it to him to whom it belongs on the day he realizes his guilt. And he shall bring to the priest as his compensation to the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flock, or its equivalent for a guilt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any of the things that one may do and thereby become guilty." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command Aaron and his sons, saying, 'This is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth, on the altar, all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and put his linen undergarment on his body, and he shall take up the ashes to which the fire has reduced the burnt offering on the altar, and put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments and put on other garments and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall arrange the burnt offering on it and shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Fire shall be kept burning on the altar continually. It shall not go out. And this is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord in front of the altar. And one shall take it from a handful of the fine flour of the grain offering and its oil and all the frankincense that is on the grain offering, and burn this as its memorial portion on the altar, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And the rest of it Aaron and his sons shall eat. It shall be eaten unleavened in a holy place. In the court of the tent of meeting they shall eat it. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it as their portion of my food offerings. It is a thing most holy, like the sin offering and the guilt offering. Every male among the children of Aaron may eat of it, as decreed forever throughout your generations, from the Lord's food offerings. Whatever touches them shall become holy." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This is the offering that Aaron and his sons shall offer to the Lord on the day when he is anointed, a tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a regular grain offering, half of it in the morning and half in the evening. It shall be made with oil on the griddle. You shall bring it well mixed in baked pieces like a grain offering, and offer it for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The priest from among Aaron's sons who is anointed to succeed him shall offer it to the Lord as decreed forever. The whole of it shall be burned. Every grain offering of a priest shall be wholly burned. It shall not be eaten." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, 'This is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest who offers it for sin shall eat it. In a holy place it shall be eaten, in the court of the tent of meeting. Whatever touches its flesh shall be holy, and when any of its blood is splashed on a garment, you shall wash that on which it was splashed in a holy place. And the earthenware vessel in which it is boiled shall be broken. But if it is boiled in a bronze vessel, that shall be scourged and rinsed in water. Every male among the priests may eat of it. It is most holy. But no sin offering shall be eaten from which any blood is brought into the tent of meeting to make atonement in the holy place. It shall be burned up with fire.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. The Lord your God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Our God is a consuming fire. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God is a consuming fire. And so we have the command in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, "As he who called you is holy, you also be holy." In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, our God, your God, is a consuming fire. And so in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the people of God must be a holy people. You must be a holy people. Why? Because a holy God dwells in your midst. Because a consuming fire dwells in your midst. God reveals himself to his people as a consuming fire, in the pillar of cloud by day and in the pillar of fire by night. This truth was visibly displayed before the people also in the tabernacle. This truth was visibly displayed before the Old Testament people of God in the fire upon the altar of God. Fire was to be kept burning on the altar continually. It shall not go out. The fire upon the altar was not to go out. Why? Because the consuming fire that is your God does not go out. The fire was to burn continually, even as the consuming fire of your God burns continually. And the offerings consumed in the fire, the offerings burned in the flame, they were a constant reminder to the people of the consequence of a consuming fire dwelling in their midst. Of the result of a consuming fire dwelling in the midst of a sinful people. It is something that they will learn in a very painful way later in Leviticus when Aaron's sons offer an unauthorized sacrifice before the Lord, and fire comes out from the Lord and consumes them. In Exodus chapter 4, when God first appeared to Moses, this is how he revealed himself. This is how he appeared to Moses, as a consuming fire. As a consuming fire, on account of which Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. But in God's first appearance to Moses, in the midst of this consuming fire, God also reveals His promise to Moses. God reveals the hope of His promise to His people. That hope was also revealed in the fire. For the fire was burning in a bush. But the bush was not consumed. The burning bush, it was a picture of God dwelling in the midst of His people. It was a picture of God dwelling in the midst of His people, with His people not being consumed by His holiness, not being consumed by the flame. It is a hope that would be revealed again in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. I will be to Jerusalem a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory in her midst. This is the hope in which you have been called. This is the hope in which you stand. That the glory of God, a consuming fire, will dwell in your midst. A fire that will not burn you. A fire that will not consume you. But a fire that will refine you. That you might reflect its glory. That you might reflect the holiness of God. God who is the glory in your midst. The difference between heaven and hell, it is not fire. There will be fire in hell. There will be fire in the lake of fire. But there will also be fire in the New Jerusalem. For your God, who is a consuming fire, will be present in both. The difference between eternal life and eternal death is not the presence or absence of fire, but rather it is the effect of that fire upon you. On the one hand, to burn and consume you forever in wrath. Or on the other, to refine you and transform you by God's grace into the glorious image of Christ. Both believer and unbeliever must undergo a baptism of fire. Everyone must be salted with fire. Christ baptizes with the Spirit and fire. The fire upon the altar was not to go out. The fire upon the altar was to burn continually. A constant reminder, day after day, night after night, a constant reminder to God's people of the baptism which awaited them all. The tabernacle, the altar, the fire, declaring to God's people, no one can come to God without passing through this fire. No one can enter into the presence of God without dwelling in this fire. How can a sinful people endure such a fire? How can God's promise to dwell in the midst of His people and not consume them be fulfilled? as has been repeated throughout Leviticus, a sacrifice is required. A sacrifice without blemish. A perfect sacrifice. But in Leviticus chapter 6, we see something else as well. In Leviticus chapter 6, we see a sacrifice. But in Leviticus 6, we also see restitution. Leviticus chapter 6 begins with a guilt offering, offered by one who has deceived, offered by one who has defrauded, offered by one who has oppressed his neighbor. For this sin, he must offer sacrifice to make atonement for his sin. Not an unintentional sin, but a willful sin. And this is something different from what we've seen before. In Numbers chapter 15, verse 27, we have a summary of the distinction between an unintentional sin and between a willful sin. And we have a distinction of the consequence for an unintentional sin and for a willful sin. In Numbers chapter 15, verse 27, we read, "If a person sins unintentionally, he shall offer a female goat, a year old, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement before the Lord for the person who makes a mistake when he sins unintentionally, to make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven." But verse 30, the person who does anything with a high hand, he reviles the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be on him. And as we saw in Leviticus chapters 4 and 5, the sin offering, it was not offered for sins done with a high hand. It was offered for unintentional sins. But in Leviticus chapter 6, the sin is not unintentional. In Leviticus chapter 6, the sin is not unintentional. Deception, oppression, swearing falsely, these are not accidents. They are done willfully. They are done with a high hand. How then can atonement be made for them? Why are those who commit them not cut off? Why are they not cut off, as we read in Numbers chapter 15? Because of restitution. Because of restitution. The guilt offering of Leviticus chapter 6 does not only include a sacrifice, but it also includes restitution. The one who has sinned, he must restore what he has taken by robbery. He must restore what he has taken by oppression. He must restore what he has taken by swearing falsely. That is why the offender is not cut off, because he is able to restore what he has taken. He is able to restore what he has taken, and not only what he has taken, but more than what he has taken. For in making restitution for his defrauding of another, he returns what he defrauded and more, defrauding himself, so to speak, and making restitution for his sin. In Leviticus chapter 6, guilt is atoned for through sacrifice, but there is not atonement without restitution. There is not restoration without restitution. The one bringing the sacrifice must make restitution if he would be restored. If he would not be cut off from the people of God, if he would not be cast away from the presence of the Lord. That is why the man who murders his neighbor, who intentionally kills another without just cause, that is why, according to the law, he must be put to death. Numbers chapter 35, verse 16, the murderer shall be put to death. The sin offering will not spare his life. Why not? Because he cannot make restitution for the life that he has taken. He cannot pay the debt that he owes. He cannot bring back to life the one he has killed. And so there is no sacrifice to make atonement for him. There is no restoration for him, because he cannot make restitution. He can only satisfy justice through his own death. The guilt offering, with its requirement of restitution, it reveals to you that justice must be satisfied. Justice must be satisfied. It cannot be ignored. It will not be ignored. Justice must be satisfied. The sacrifices of the Old Testament were not offered to nullify justice, but to satisfy justice. And so the guilt offering of Leviticus chapter 6, it reveals to those who offered it, and it reveals to you that atonement, which requires sacrifice, also requires restitution. But how will you make restitution with God? What about those sins for which you cannot make restitution? For you might make restitution to your neighbor whom you have defrauded. But how will you make restitution to God whom you have defrauded? Mark chapter 8, verse 37. What can a man give in return for his life? Your God is a consuming fire. You cannot come to Him without sacrifice. And you cannot come to Him without satisfying His justice. Who then can come to Him? For who can satisfy His justice? Who can satisfy His wrath? Who can offer His life as restitution to God for your sins? Thanks be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ offered Himself as a sacrifice to God, and Christ made restitution for you to God. Christ did not only offer Himself as a sacrifice, but He offered to God what you owed God. He paid the debt that you owed God, not only of your death, but also in His life. He offered to God the obedience which God requires, the obedience which you have failed to offer. And so it is in Christ. And so it is in Christ that a sacrifice is offered. And so it is in Christ that restitution is made. And so it is in Christ that God's justice is satisfied. The Gospel according to Leviticus chapter 6. You cannot approach this fire apart from Christ. You cannot endure this fire apart from Christ. But in Christ, a sacrifice has been made. In Christ, restitution has been given. In Christ, justice is satisfied. And so in Christ, you may approach the consuming fire that is God. In Christ, you may inhabit the consuming fire that is God. And so it is that we see in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the people of God standing in the midst of the fire. Standing in the midst of the fire, the flame did not burn them, The flame did not consume them, but they were not alone. There was in their midst one like a son of God. People of God, Christ is for you. Christ is with you. Your God is a consuming fire, and Christ is with you that you may approach that fire, that you may stand in that fire, that you may receive all that God has promised. I will be your God. You will be my people. And I will dwell in your midst. Praise be to God. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray.